This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Did the Denver Nuggets salvage a relatively quiet offseason by picking up DeMar DeRozan? Joining us now to talk about the Nuggets and more on Peyton Watson, too, Chris Dempsey, our Nuggets insider. Chris, my man, always good to catch up with you on a Monday after, I mean, we get the crazy news that DeMar DeRozan is officially going to go to the Denver Nuggets late Friday.
Yeah, we talked about that, and I was very skeptical as to whether that would happen or not. But one of the things I think I did say is that I just didn't believe that he would take, a veteran minimum contract, but he did. And so if that was going to be the case, then obviously the Nuggets were going to be able to be players in that situation. So, it's an interesting addition to the team, right? Because on one hand, you have one of the truly great scorers in the league's history is what you have. His career average is 21 points per game, I believe. And, you're just talking about a guy who's a total bucket. He's a clutch player, makes shots late in games all the time. At the same time, obviously, not a three-point shooting player really at all. And so, what will the offense look like when he's on the court? How will they just kind of run the – there's just 1,000 questions. But for a Nuggets team, it's obviously been a very challenging summer, let's just call it that, in terms of finances. They're taking a swing here. We'll see if it pays off.
Yeah, talk to me about, again, we all know the version of DeMar DeRozan that we watched for many, many years, how good he was, especially with Toronto. Talk to me, and you discussed his three-point shooting defensively at this age. What do you have to say about his defensive abilities at this point, Chris?
It's in the back nine. let's put it that way. He's going to give effort on that end, but certainly not the same effectiveness level as earlier in his career. And so that's why this is a swing, because you're taking a player that can still score the ball. You have a bench that needs scoring off the bench. But also, you have a basketball team in the Nuggets that defensively wants to get better, and I don't know that they've exactly done that. So, that's why it's a risk. But when you're in the financial situation that the Nuggets are, that's about all you can do. And so, I think they're just going to hope to accentuate the positives here in terms of his scoring and his offensive abilities, and then hope that a players like Spencer Jones, Alpha Diallo, Marvin Bagley at the rim can help make up for some defensive shortcomings in some other areas.
Chris Dempsey joining us. What he had other suitors. What do you think it was ultimately that made sense for him to come to Denver?
I'm sure playing alongside Nikola and Jamal, yeah, and looking at this basketball team and saying, okay, it's obviously, everybody is kind of looking at Oklahoma City and San Antonio in the Western Conference as the favorites in the Western Conference. But obviously, the Nuggets are really, depending on who you talk to, they're right there or super close. You know what I'm saying? So if you're DeMar and you're chasing the title a little bit, this is a really good team to come to because, one, the top notch talent is as good as there is literally in the world. And then part two, they have a need for you as a scorer. So even though you're not going to be starting probably, I'm just assuming here, even though you're not going to be starting, there still is a significant role for you to have an impact as a scorer. I'm sure they just told him, we're going to put the ball in your hands. So don't worry about, only getting, say, 5 or 6 shots a game. We're going to put the ball in your hands primarily with the second unit, maybe a little bit of crossover with some starters. And then we're going to let you do your thing. So I think that's very attractive to a player that still believes he's got a lot left in the tank and can score the ball a little bit. So I think those would be the factors as I see them the reasons why he would have chosen the Nuggets over anybody over the other suitors.
Chris, at this point, with the I kind of feel like, okay, kind of salvaged a weird offseason, a quiet offseason with getting DeMar DeRozan. I don't think he's the end-all, be-all, but I think he's still, as you mentioned, he's still a good player. We'll see kind of how that ultimately works for Denver this upcoming year. But in your mind, is Denver where they were August 24th last year? I think all of us were pretty excited. Tim Hardaway Jr., Big Val, Bruce Brown's coming back. Are the Nuggets, do they have that same kind of feeling today on August 24th that we had last year at this time?
No, they do not. You know, it's been a tough summer in terms of, you know, we all were kind of waiting for the Peyton Watson shoe to drop, right? So, like, that was something that was very disappointing because of the type of player that we go into this offseason with, thoughts on the type of player that the Nuggets needed to add to their roster, athleticism, defense, these kinds of things. And you let the best player was already on your roster in terms of those things, and now he's not on your roster. And now, look, the flip side of that is they're going to say, well, Marvin Bagley is pretty athletic, and Alpha Diallo is a really good defensive player, and those things might be true. But sometimes there's a reason why the players kind of bounce around places. And in the case of Alpha Diallo, you know, he is almost a clone player to Spencer Jones. So, I mean, it's right on down to almost the size. You know, it's both 6'7", both defensive first players, both be like, you know, so I'm not sure how much of a role he'll play unless there's a lot of injuries happening as well. So, it's definitely not the same as last year. I think last year we were looking at this basketball team going, okay, here we go. This is a championship-looking roster, or at least an NBA Finals-looking roster. And I don't think that we can look at this year's roster and say that. Now, if they get Aaron Gordon to be healthy the majority of the season and just their starting lineup to do that the majority of the season, then they can play with anybody. Their starting lineup is as good as there is in the NBA. If they do not get that, then it could be kind of a little bit of an up-and-down season.
Chris Dempsey joining us talking all things Denver Nuggets. Well, you probably heard Rich Paul talking, you know, Peyton's agent talking about this. We all kind of talked about it. We all kind of maybe thought, yeah, maybe he's making a business decision. And then you hear Rich Paul makes it sound like maybe Peyton wanted to play in the playoffs, but the agency jumps in and says you got to be careful. How do you view the breakup now between the Nuggets and Watson? Do you sympathize with the Nuggets more? Do you sympathize with Watson? What's your view on this, man?
I think this is a situation that I have seen before in this league where, a player will – or the agent tells the player. The player wants to play. The player always wants to play. And I'm sure Peyton Watson wanted to play. And then Rich Paul was like, nope, you're not playing. it was interesting, Brady, because – if you go back to last season's playoffs and you saw Peyton Watson, he was literally warming up in front of everybody.
Right.
And you could tell, I remember saying at the time, I don't know what's going on with his body, but he looks like he could probably get out there and play. But you didn't know beyond a shadow of a doubt what was actually happening with his hamstring and whatever else. And so, to have Rich Paul kind of spell that out, just very, it was very clarifying to all of us how this went down. And so, if you're going to blame Peyton Watson, I'd say maybe pump the brakes a little bit. Is he an adult? Could he have just put himself out there and just defied his agent's orders? Sure, he could have done that, but that almost never happens. And when your agent is known for getting his clients literally hundreds of millions of dollars over these last few years, then you're just going to do what he says because he knows how to maximize your market value. And he was able to do that, $22 million per year. And so it's too bad for the Nuggets. And I think I would sympathize more with the Nuggets because Peyton was a player that they most certainly could have used against the Minnesota Timberwolves and might have been able to, if not completely swing the balance of power in that series, certainly not get the Nuggets in a situation where they're down, three games to one, or like they just didn't look like they had the athletes to be able to continually stay with Minnesota, even though Minnesota was missing Ann Edwards and Dante DiVincenzo. And so it's just it's too bad because, you know, if you get through Minnesota, the Nuggets had shown during the regular season that they could go toe-to-toe with San Antonio at any point in time. And so, you start to think about the possibilities of what this team could have been. But, you know, business got in the way, and they didn't have one of those players, and then they couldn't pay him as much as Cleveland could pay him, and now he's gone.
So when you see, because we're all seeing it, like the Kroenkes are cheap. They're not paying. And I'm looking at it going, well, they pay guys. They just don't always pay the right guys, Chris.
Right.
But when you see that kind of stuff, you know, what does that do for you? Like you said, you kind of I'm in the same boat, honestly. I kind of get both sides. I can get why the Nuggets would be a little upset when they hear this information or they kind of thought this was going on, but I also don't completely fault Peyton Watson and the agency. I get it, it's a business at the end of the day, but there's a lot of hate going after the Kroenkes with how this was handled.
Well, so and I think the issue here and actually Josh alluded to this in a press conference, and I wish I could remember which one it was. It might have been even a couple of years ago, a couple of seasons ago. And, you know, the issue here really is how much money they gave just a few players and right prior to the second apron coming into effect in 2024. Now, I know there's a lot of people that I've had a lot of people talk to me about, well, if this is a Christian Brown issue, it really actually isn't a Christian Brown issue. It's a, you paid players early and paid them a bunch of money. And so like Nikola and Jamal, certainly they deserve those dollars, but those are really big dollars. And then you paid Aaron Gordon early, which right about the time the second apron was coming into effect. And so now you have so much money devoted to three players that it becomes a little bit of a problem. But then the second apron comes, but then you still pay Christian Brown $25 million per year, and then you add Cam Johnson, even though what you had done, you had paid Michael Porter Jr. too, but you traded him away to be able to get some relief, but it was too late. You had too much money wrapped up into just a few players, and when you pay them early, then you lose your flexibility. So the reason a team would want to pay a player early if they feel like they project that he's going to be a significant player for them is that you can get them at a quote unquote, I'm air quoting this here, at a cheaper rate. So instead of if Christian Brown, they signed Christian Brown to the money that they did. If they didn't do that, and then he repeated the season that he had when they paid him, and so he like, then that dollar figure could go from 25 to maybe 30 or 28 to 30, and they don't want to pay that; they want to pay this, and so you pay players early, and that's what the Nuggets have done. This goes back to Tim Connelly and Calvin Booth. So, but you get in trouble if players get injured and can't play for you, and then you eventually got in trouble because the second apron made it so that you couldn't just not care about the luxury tax for 1 year, because it's not just a luxury tax issue. It's a roster building issue with the second apron. And so now you just can't play players. And so like, look at the additions to the roster this year. Tyus Jones, 1 year deal. Marvin Bagley, 1 year deal. DeMar DeRozan, 1 year deal. Alpha Diallo, 1 year deal. This is all you can do now because the second apron is not allowing you to be able to properly fill out your roster. And so I think this goes back years with how the Nuggets did business. It is coming to roost with this, and it really just came to a head here this summer. And I got to believe that going forward, there are a lot of lessons learned from how they used to do business to how they will do business in the future in terms of contract, who they give contracts to, when they give those contracts, and then also looking at the future of the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, what's coming down the pike? Is there going to be another apron? Is there going to be another, you know, like, things like that that would negatively affect how you build your roster if you dole out too much money too soon.
Yeah, no question. They're all kind of learning with this apron stuff as they go. A lot like us. I don't know if I've ever fully learned it, Chris. You always have to kind of give us an update on that. Chris, always appreciate your insight, my friend, and we'll see what happens. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, my guy. We'll talk to you.
All right, Chris Dempsey. I mean, you hear that. You hear all the 1 year contracts and stuff. Let's call it what it is. feels like the Nuggets are kind of just taping this thing together until next offseason. If they win, they win. If they don't, then it's kind of expected, and we're just going to wire this thing together and hope for the best.
Yeah, so are they still going to be in the second apron next year?
Yeah, they're still in it. They still need to move a piece because they were a million or so over it, and then they didn't do anything. They picked up DeMar DeRozan, so they're even further into it, 4 million probably, 5 million maybe.
But 5 million is better than a brand new very large contract.
Yeah, one you can't get out of. But that's, you look at the actual payroll for this team, and that's where my mind goes. That this season is really about hoping for the best, but we know that next year is the year we can try to actually do something. 11:51 the time. We'll take a short break here. Coming up, we got some wild top stories. We got Browns news. We got Coach Sanders news. We got WNBA news. And LSU news. Leave it to Lane Kiffin. We'll be right back.
You want Broncos football?
Broncos on three! 1, 2, 3! Broncos!
Then you want Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.